But I was told that I could listen to the radio at a reasonable volume, and I should be able to listen to the radio while I'm collating, so I don't see why I should have to turn down the radio because I enjoy listening at a reasonable volume.
If life is a drug, then I've been taking some hard hits. Like, I'm trying to see how intense the sense of humor of God gets. But I'm dedicated, because I know spoken word can make the living come alive. And if I'm involved, we're going to require at least 5 30-plus single black mothers. Otherwise, it could be pointless. Because if this is God's work and the man on the microphone is anointed, then if you provide him with the conditions he requires, he might be able to use his art to make your heart drop into your lap. Move this room into a whole nother world. Take all them young cats that just came here to mingle and say something to make their brains tingle without drug the first. Because this is that spoken love that hurts. Every phrase is tasered to make your blood feel electric. But you can't just take a hit. The hit's got to take. This is that spoken word where you've got to swallow the smoke from the words. Open up your mind and let your brain float from the words. Think of something in your life you want to change and gain hope from the words. Because that's how the living come alive. And this is that bona fide. I made it with the dust off of old 78s and 45s. Codified it in the spoken word. Digitized it in the ones and zeros and MP3'd it for your iPod. Heavy underground like the Earth's core. The crowd recognized the underground heavy from the tat that he wore. Allow me to introduce that energy that only inner God can produce. Come to spoken word, get your inner God seduced. Because what else can move your inner self outside yourself like the truth? But that's how the living come alive. And if you don't know what a juke joint is, there's a very good chance you ain't gonna understand what the point is. But this is underground, so they can't convince me to call myself Black Teed and show up to the mic every night wearing this black tee, because my style ain't so earthy, it's so unlike Black Teed. You might need to bring a mason jar of corn liquor with you. Pop off the lid, take a hard twig, let that corn liquor hit you. At the end of the night, meet us at the bar, cop yourself a large snifter. That's if you with the Mr. Picture This, Gordon Parks, James Van Der Zee. It's all right when I'm on the mic if you want to close your eyes and breathe life into your fantasy, but remember, ain't nobody here but me and you right now. And ain't no coincidences, I was sent here for you right now. To tell you, if you want to change your life, you better make it do whatever you want it to do right now. But I hope you want more from life than money, because money ain't hard to come by if money is the only thing that you absolutely care about. But you should know that life is just preparation for something more majestic, and spoken word is just life when it's presented at its most expressive. And the reason why poetry ain't bigger in this society is because this society is oppressive, and every oppressor since the dawn of time has tried to dead whatever art form made the living come alive.
The only way they can pass this bill is by creating and sustaining a panic atmosphere. That atmosphere is not justified. Many of us were told in private conversations that if we voted against this bill on Monday, that the sky would fall, the market would drop 2,000 or 3,000 points the first day, another couple thousand the second day, and a few members were even told that there would be martial law in America if we voted no. That's what I call fear-mongering. Unjustified, proven wrong. We've got a week, we've got 2 weeks to write a good bill. The only way to pass a bad bill, keep the panic pressure on.
But I have a friend who's the daughter of Holocaust survivors, and she kept insisting when we talked about news events that they did this in Germany, and I was sure that this was, you know, very extreme, irrational talk, but she finally forced me to sit down and start reading. And, of course, I've discovered that she wasn't talking about National Socialist outcomes, you know, 38, 39, 40. She was talking about 1930, 31, 32, when Germany was a parliamentary democracy, yes, a fragile one. A small group of people began very systematically to use the law and dismantle the Constitution and put pressure on citizens to subvert the law. And that opened the door for everything to follow. And then when I started reading this, I saw that not only were tactics and strategies being reproduced exactly right now by the Bush administration, but that actual sound bites and language and images and scenarios and sort of film moments are being reproduced. And then to, you know, summarize quickly, I looked at other times and places where a would-be dictator, whether on the left or the right, wanted to close down a democracy or crush a pro-democracy movement, and I looked at Italy in the 20s, I mentioned Germany in the 30s, Russia in the 30s, East Germany in the 50s, Czechoslovakia in the 60s, China's crackdown on the democracy movement in the 80s, Pinochet's coup in Chile in 1973, and what I saw is that there is a blueprint. I mean, that everybody who wants to close down a democracy does the exact 10 things, their 10 classic steps, and that unfortunately, I'm sorry to say, we're seeing each of these 10 steps being put in place in the United States today.
That's not patriotic.
Just four members of Congress will lead the negotiations of what President Bush and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid want to be the largest government bailout in history. Democrats, Senator Dodd, chairman of the Senate Banking Committee, Congressman Frank, chairman, House Financial Services Committee. Republicans, Senator Judd Gregg, ranking member of the Senate Banking Committee, Congressman Roy Blunt, House Minority Whip. Well, that's your lineup, folks. And over the past two decades, those four men have accepted almost $20 million in donations from finance, insurance, and real estate firms. Yes, the very same firms that stand to benefit from that almost $1 trillion federal bailout.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
As the financial world awaits a lifeline from Washington, they're looking to friends in Congress whom they've helped over the years. Friends who have stood by in key committees as debts ballooned and regulation waned.
They had politicians on both sides of the aisle that they were pushing for easier credit. Chairman Frank and Chairman Dodd have been the facilitators of that on the committees and moving forward legislation that has created a lot of this systematic risk that we are facing.
According to OpenSecrets.org, the website for the Center for Responsive Politics, on the Democratic side from 1989 to present, Senate Banking Committee Chairman Chris Dodd has accepted a total of $13,205,556 in campaign contributions, both in PAC and individual money, from the finance, insurance, and real estate sectors.
The last time that Congress took up the structure of the financial industry, Senator Dodd supported letting banks get even larger and get into new lines of riskier businesses.
Go tell that long tongue liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down, tell him that God's gonna cut him down.
House Financial Services Committee Chairman Barney Frank has accepted a total of $2,494,611 in campaign contributions from the same sectors. In Frank's case, top donors include employees from the American Bankers Association, the company that's just bought Washington Mutual, J.P. Morgan Chase, and the National Association of Realtors. In the case of Senator Dodd, top donors include Citigroup, Bear Stearns, and J.P. Morgan Chase. Dodd and Frank now play key roles in bailout talks.
Certainly Congress bears some responsibility for this coming to pass. There are a lot of federal policies that contributed to the current situation.
House Financial Services Committee Chairman Frank told Lou Dobbs tonight, quote, specifically, I've been a consistent supporter of strong consumer protection, support for adequately funded affordable housing, and support for efficient functioning of financial institutions in our economy. And I find no contradiction in working for all three objectives.
Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels' feet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down, tell him that God's gonna cut him down.
Congressman Roy Blunt and Senator Judd Gregg are no strangers to the banking industry. According to OpenSecrets.org, the website for the Center for Responsive Politics, Congressman Roy Blunt's top political donors are in securities, investment, real estate, and commercial banks, contributing an estimated $2 million over the course of his career. And this year alone, employees and political action committees from financial and securities firms gave $144,000, commercial banks contributed $83,000, and real estate contributed $107,000. Blunt, who was up for re-election this year, has a history of supporting business and is given a 93% approval rating by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce for voting in their interests. Bill Allison is with the Sunlight Foundation, a nonpartisan group that advocates greater government transparency.
He's also been somebody who's been very much, again, a creature of K Street, and very much lobbyists have had his ear, and he's been very much kind of an insider in terms of how he's run functioned in Washington.
Blunt also voted back in 1999 to roll back banking regulations and sided with the banking industry on overhauling the bankruptcy code in 2005 to make consumers repay more of their debt during bankruptcy.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Senator Judd Gregg's top funding sources this election year are the securities and insurance industries, which provide 21% of his funding.
Since Senator Gregg has been in Congress, he's collected about $1 million from the financial sector and the industries that are most interested in this bailout. The insurance industry is his number one contributor.
Citigroup is listed as the number four top contributor in this election year. Senator Judd Gregg has a Chamber of Commerce ranking, voting 88% of the time pro-business.
Now, public advocacy and watchdog groups say because of the deep ties to business and banking, members of Congress involved in crafting the bailout should not be allowed to negotiate behind closed doors without the knowledge of the public.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on. For a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
And Judd Gregg, how much is he taking from these
industries?
$1 million.
Total. Yeah.
Well, that's sort of shocking. He and Blunt are pikers. I mean, Christopher Dodd and Barney Frank have been making them look silly. I mean, you're talking tremendous sums of money on the Democratic side. I'm a little embarrassed for the Republicans. They're supposed to be the party of business, and they're not getting their fair share of the business. But it looks like they're going to be giving the business to the American taxpayer.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, Mr. Beal, and I won't have it. Is that clear? You think you merely stopped a business deal? That is not the case. The Arabs have taken billions of dollars out of this country, and now they must put it back. It is ebb and flow, tidal gravity. It is ecological balance. You are an old man who thinks in terms of nations and peoples. There are no nations. There are no peoples. There are no Russians. There are no Arabs. There are no third worlds. There is no West. There is only one holistic system of systems. One vast and immane, interwoven, interacting, multivariate, multinational dominion of dollars. Petrodollars, electrodollars, multidollars, Reichmarks, Rins, rubles, pounds, and shekels. It is the international system of currency which determines the totality of life on this planet. That is the natural order of things today. That is the atomic and subatomic and galactic structure of things today. And you have meddled with the primal forces of nature. And you will atone. Am I getting through to you, Mr. Beale?
I have a guardian spirit. I have a mindset of guardianship. And driving into work this morning, I saw women, you know, pushing their baby carriages, going up to the bus stops, taking them to daycare, to work. You know, in the past, say 10 years ago, I'd look at a beautiful woman or something and think, man, she's, you know, good looking, and you'll be lustful. And then in the last 10 years or so, I just got to where I admired beautiful women and you know, people. And now I just look at men and women and children and everybody, and just my heart literally burns with love. And I just want to protect them. And I don't even hate them because they're ignorant and silly and don't know what's going on and have been brainwashed since birth. And I just burned with passion to warn them and to save them and to help them. And I don't have the strength to do it. And that's why I blow up on air. I don't even think about anything but fighting the New World Order. That's all I think about. That's all I do. That's all I am. I see the evil. My mind's constantly working. I know the angles. I look at the simplest things and see 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 layers of depth into them. I've got incredible discernment now. It just gets more intense all the time, and I don't have the intellect to even articulate it. I just know that it's horrible. It's real. Martial law, FEMA camps, death. And I look at all these good people, and I want to save them, not just my family. I want to save those women with those babies. I want to save these dumb cops. I want to save these dumb low-level bankers and minions and city council people that think they're part of the elite and don't know they're getting set up to be taken down. I don't know how to, I am just, I don't know why I'm even talking about myself and my mindset. I just wish other people burned with the same passion and the same brotherly love. Because liberal, conservative, black, white, old, young, everybody, we got to drop all of it. We got to get serious and focused and positive. And positive means admitting how bad things are so we can fix it. Not this new age positive stuff of denying what's going on and magical thinking. That isn't going to dig us out of this. We got to get fired up and focused and take action and beat these people. Because the bare minimum, they're going to take everything you got and make you dispossess people like in Argentina or Nigeria. And let me tell you, it's a horrible prison economy they're going to set up. A predatory thing that makes all the tasering and deaths and millions in prison look like nothing.
Because it wasn't like this, you know, 25, 30 years ago. And it just seems like it's going to continue to get worse. And I just see nothing more simple than a connection between the economy and the ascendancy of violence and thievery in our society.
Darn right it was the predator lenders.
He did support deregulation. Deregulate, deregulate, deregulation, deregulation, more deregulation. Deregulated, deregulation. Asked a guy named Joey Danko, I said, you know what his answer was? Quote, deregulation.
Hey, can I call you Joe? Go to a kid's soccer game on Saturday. I betcha you're going to hear some fear. Fear, fear, a fear.
I call that the ultimate bridge to nowhere.
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps.
Here's a shout out to all those third graders at Gladyswood Elementary School.
Everywhere, like, such as...
Also, John McCain's Maverick...
everywhere, like such as.
But surely if politicians used words like holla, swallow back, check this out, all my peeps in your cribs, all your mofos out there, swallow this, booyakasha wagwan, then people would hear it and understand, didn't it?
And that is, you can get out of your mind any idea that anger and hate and violence have ever caused any problems on this earth. Except when they, as I said, become pathological. But actually, we better wake up and realize that not hate, not anger, not violence has ever caused any of them problems that are on this earth at all. And anyone who believes that has got a very, very limited understanding of the world that they're living in. The problems are caused in this world, ladies and gentlemen, not by those things, but by false love. Charles T. Tart called it consensus trance. In short, I would say, if it's not in the media, then most people think it didn't happen. Because they don't know what's going on, or, you know, in the other state or whatever. And if you came and told them, they probably think you're a crank and wouldn't believe it. But you put it on CNN and it happened. And conversely, if it did not happen, but is in the media, we believe it happened. The moon landing, for instance. Guess what? It didn't happen.
You know my problem? I watch too much news. I don't know if you've ever sat and watched CNN longer than, say, 20 hours in one day. I've got to cut that out. You ever watch CNN headline news for any length of time? It's the most depressing thing you will ever do. War, famine, death, AIDS, homeless, recession, depression, war, famine, death, AIDS.
But I'm reminded of Jeremiah chapter 5, 26. Among my people are wicked men who lie in wait. Among my people are wicked men who lie in wait, like men who snare birds and like those who set traps to catch men. Like cages full of birds, their houses are full of deceit. They have become rich and powerful and have grown fat and sleek. Their evil deeds have no limit, and that's no exaggeration. What these people do behind closed doors is also horrific. But they themselves are merely lieutenants of something higher, of more insidious hierarchs that work from behind the scenes.
We sure are in a weird place in this country, aren't we? A weird, weird place.
It is perfectly possible for a man to be out of prison and yet not free, to be under no physical constraint and yet to be psychologically captive, compelled to think, feel, and act as the representatives of the national state or of some private interest within the nation wants them to think, feel, and act. The nature of psychological compulsion is such that those who act under constraint remain under the impression that they are acting of their own initiative. The victim of mind manipulation does not know that he is a victim. To him, the walls of his prison are invisible, and he believes himself to be free. That he is not free is only apparent to other people. His servitude is strictly objective.
World government is the structure necessary for global justice.
Christianity and these organizations, these organized religions, as well as the corporate dominance and governments, they're there to erase your spirit of rebellion. That's their modus operandi. That's why they exist. They don't exist to take you to God or to heaven. There's very few enlightened people in Christianity, if you haven't noticed. There's very few enlightened people anywhere in the world, including on the banks of the Ganges. But what there is conformity, violence, subservience to tradition, and untold sadism to the self and to others. And there is the obvious control and subjugation of the true spirit of rebellion.
As long as you're not doing anything wrong, you've got nothing to fear.
So when you find yourself in this utterly crazy place, this war on terror, let's understand why. It's by design. In fact, you know something, if you're really symbolically literate, whenever this term war on terror, which I might add is a psychological term, it's not saying terrorism, which is political, or terrorists. It says war on terror. Now, terror is a psychological term. It's an inner state. Cold war, nuclear war, atomic war. Think about what those words really mean. They've got very little to do with external things. Atomic war, genetic war, cold war, now war on terror. And you know how the right brain hears it? It's not war on terror, but war on terror. T-E-R-R-A. War on Earth. Because it is a war on Earth.
And freedom is beautiful. And, you know, it'll take time to restore chaos and order. But we're order out of chaos, but we will.
A rational man will say, electing mass murderers to commission professional murderers to commit genocide in our name does not mean that we are innocent.
It's an absurd insinuation.
But a priest, pope, politician, doctor, tutor, you see, the whole nine yards, the expert. Look, we're in submission to the expert. Everyone else is more powerful and more knowledgeable. And we've given our power away to the worst kind of sadists.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
Well, I guess I better get back to my show now. So long!